You know, we're in a crisis now, but sometimes we don't talk about this crisis. This is an epidemic. 47,000 people in this country killed themselves in 2017.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this message airing tonight, Pastor Brian Grant takes us back to the prophet of old, Elijah, to see what might be learned from the life experiences of this great man of God that illustrate ways in which we can appropriate for ourselves God's own remedies for curing the blues. We're sure you will want to tune in again next week to hear the concluding part of this timely message, in which Pastor Grant lists 5 points that detail life lessons that can be learned from God's dealings with his valiant servant in despairing circumstances. We invite you now to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19 and follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message, God's Cure for the Blues. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Abe was a young lawyer in the Midwest who was suffering from such deep depression that his friends tried to make sure there were no knives or razor blades in his presence. It's believed that the depression started when he lost his true love. And after losing his true love, the depression got so deep that Abe often spoke of suicide. You know, he was a successful attorney at the time, and his depression was so great that he thought of giving up the practice of law. He said, "I am now the most miserable man living." He says, "I'm not sure if I'll ever get better." But he did get better. And Abraham Lincoln went on to be one of the greatest presidents in American history. And this morning I want to speak, as we're speaking on the subject, God's Cure for the Blues, I want to speak to those who are here, and perhaps you're listening to me on the broadcast. I want you to know that just as God helped Abraham Lincoln, just as he was able to recover from his depression, I just want you to know that there is hope. Amen? There is hope. And God is here to heal the hopeless heart and to help you with the heavy burden that you're carrying. We're speaking about depression and the blues. And I know that, of course, depression is much more serious than the blues, because depression is a persistent feeling of sadness. And of course, in our text today, we'll see Elijah the prophet had persistent, a sadness that lasted over 40 days. You know, in 2017, depression is regarded as an epidemic in our country today. In 2017, over 17 million people suffered from severe depression. They had at least one major bout of severe or major depression. And the experts tell us that depression is now an epidemic. The sad part is, what is particularly concerning, is that the age group that has the highest rate of depression is the age group 18 to 25. You may not realize it. Sometimes we think it's older people who suffer from depression, but the highest age group with the highest rate of depression is the 18 to 25 year old group. And so I hope, young people, you're listening to me real good this morning. I hope you'll pay attention to what God has to say. In today's text, believe it or not, those of you were here last week, remember that Elijah had an incredible victory on Mount Carmel. You remember that? How he was confronted by 850 of the prophets of Baal and how God delivered him. Listen, Elijah had an amazing victory on Mount Carmel. It is therefore shocking for us to find that the very next chapter, we find Elijah in deep, deep depression. Such deep depression that he wants to die. Listen, he is here in depression. And by the way, if you weren't here for last week's message, you can get it on YouTube, or you can purchase a DVD after the service. But now, hey, it's just a day or two after this incredible victory on Mount Carmel, and God's great prophet is running for his life. Can you imagine that? He is running from his life. He's running from Jezebel. and he's scared to death. There are some lessons we can learn from today's text in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I hope if you're here, and even if you're listening to us on the computer, that you'll take some notes as we go along. Because there are five things I want to share with you this morning that I believe are going to be very helpful. Anytime you find yourself in the blues, anytime you fall into the blues, or you know someone in the blues, or you're dealing with depression, I believe there are at least five lessons we can learn from this experience of Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 19. The first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning, admit you're experiencing the blues. When you're feeling the blues or you're feeling depressed, admit you're experiencing the blues or you're experiencing depression. Let me read for you 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 2. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them." Now, them, you see, she had 850 gods, and her 850 gods, and all the prophets, 850 prophets, I'm saying, and all the prophets that she had of the god Baal and Asherah, they were killed. And so she's threatening Elijah. She says, "If I don't do the same to you, if I don't kill you by tomorrow," he says, "Oh, you better watch out." Verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah." Remember, no, the territories were split. You had Israel and you had, you know, which were the 10 tribes, and then you had Judah. He's left his territory and he's run so far, he's now in Judah. Do you know that some Christians believe that all depression results from sin? And because of the fact, if you have the mindset that all depression results from sin and that it's only spiritually weak Christians who suffer from depression, do you know what you're tempted to do? You're tempted, anytime you're having issues in your life, you're tempted to cover it up. Because you don't want anybody to know you're a weak Christian and that you're suffering from depression. I remember when I was a teenager, for sure, most of the people I knew, in fact, I heard it in our church, that any Christian who is suffering from depression and has to go and see a psychiatrist, it's because their spiritual life is weak. But that is totally untrue. I don't know where we got that from. Because here we have one of the greatest prophets, perhaps the greatest prophet, Elijah. He is in such deep depression, he asks God to kill him. Don't you believe the false story that depression is as a result of sin or you're being weak? Yes, it can because of some sinful behavior, but not necessarily. Listen, so whenever you feel depressed, admit it. They tell us that admitting you're depressed is one of the most important steps on the road to healing. Because if you don't first come to grips with it, and if you're not willing to admit you're depressed, you're not going to seek help. So I urge you, my friend, today, if you're listening to us, be willing to admit that you're having a problem. But before I move on from this issue about admitting you're experiencing the blues, I want to just take a peek. What was the trigger? What was it that caused Elijah to experience the blues? And I believe it's important that we talk about this, particularly in the time that we're living in today. You know what? Clearly, there are other issues, and we'll talk about some of the issues this morning. But the primary thing that caused Elijah to experience the blues was a thing called fear. There is no doubt that fear was the biggest trigger. Elijah was scared because Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you," and he was running. Let me ask you, is fear causing you to experience the blues? Are you depressed right now? Are you struggling right now because of fear? You know, sometimes it's not fear of the coronavirus. Although right now, some Christians are scared to death of the coronavirus. My friend, we do not have to be paralyzed by fear because we have a God who we trust in. Amen? But sometimes the fear that's causing us to be depressed, sometimes it's a medical issue. You went to the doctor and the report wasn't so good, and you're fearful. And I said this week, and I'll say it again, you know, when we were in a National Religious Broadcasters conference recently, Tony Evans, his son, he was speaking, and he was saying how, you know, when his mom was sick, he prayed for her to be healed, and he was so expecting her to be healed. And then he said, you know, God finally showed him. God says, listen, she's either going to be well or she's going to be well. He said, there are only two options. She's going to be well or she's going to be well. She's going to bring me glory or she's going to bring me glory. In other words, she's either going to be well here or well with me. She's either going to bring me glory here or she's going to bring me glory in heaven. And my friends, sometimes as believers in Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we miss the idea as what our real hope is. Amen? Oh, sometimes if we're not careful, we want to hang on to the earth. Listen, all of us, like Dr. King says, all of us would like a long life. Amen? But listen, the real thing, real life begins. The Apostle Paul says, listen, it's much better that I go there. Do you see that? Sometimes we say it, but sometimes if you look at our actual behavior, it doesn't demonstrate that we really believe that to be with the Lord is far better. Listen, Paul says, it's for your benefit that I'm here. And hallelujah, whether I'm here or I'm there, I want to bring glory to Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So sometimes the fear has to do with what the doctor says. Sometimes the fear has to do with the fact that I've lost my job. Sometimes my depression has to do with the fact that Sue, my girlfriend, she left me. Or my boyfriend, he broke up with me. Listen, it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't really matter what is the cause of the fear. Do you think Elijah's fear was justified? Who thinks Elijah's fear was justified? His fear was justified. Who thinks it was not justified? Only if you're willing to vote. But let me say this to you. He was on Mount Carmel, and God did something that was impossible. Am I right? God sent fire from heaven. It not only consumed the fire, but it even licked up all the water. And as I said last week, the fire, it wasn't kerosene oil in the trench. It was water. We'll never hear kerosene, that fire burns water. I usually find out that water puts out fire. The God who can do the impossible is the God who can light the water and make it burn. Now, what had happened to this God? Did anything happen to God? Was God still there? Was God still on the throne? Do you realize what is happening? What happened? He was so gripped by fear that he forgot that instead of fear, he should have put his confidence in God. He should have put his faith in God. And it is so easy. It is so easy for circumstances to make us lose focus on God and be captivated by fear. So put this in your notes. Put this in your notes. Replace your fear with faith in God. Amen. Replace your fear, because the God of the impossible is still available to you and he's still available to me if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I can trust him.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But secondly, not only should I admit I'm experiencing the blues, but I must choose fellowship instead of being a lone ranger. Look at verse 13, verse 3 with me, if you would. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. We saw that. But he himself, when he got to Beersheba, the Bible tells us, he left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. No, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. Have you ever noticed that when folks are depressed, they're easily tempted to want to be alone. Have you ever noticed that? When somebody is depressed, they tend to want to be by themselves. They want to become lone rangers. And that's exactly what Elijah did. The Bible says when he got to Beersheba, if you notice what he did, when he got to Beersheba, he left his servant and he alone went into the wilderness. And when he went into the wilderness, what did he do? He found him a nice shade tree. He went and got a little sleep. And then he said, God, why don't you just kill me? You know, depression is very serious. And my friend, even though you might be tempted, right now you're listening to me and you're tempted. Perhaps you're here this morning, by a miracle of God because you have stayed away for a while because you have been depressed and you've been trying to be alone. Perhaps you're listening on the broadcast and you're depressed and you've been by yourself. I'm saying depression is a very serious thing. And the one thing we don't want to do is hang by ourselves when we're depressed. Listen, in 2017, over 47,000 Americans committed suicide. You know, we're in a crisis now, but sometimes we don't talk about this crisis. This is an epidemic. 47,000 people in this country killed themselves in 2017. And as I said to you, the largest age group for suicide is 18 to 25. And my friend, as we're concerned about the coronavirus, we also need to be concerned about the fact that our men, people all over our country are so depressed that many are killing themselves every single year. But you know, I don't want you to miss this because there's a big difference between Beersheba and the wilderness. Are you still with me? Elijah comes to Beersheba. He leaves his servant and he goes into the wilderness. He could have hung out in Beersheba, but instead he wanted to be a lone ranger. Don't miss, there are two important things he misses when he goes to the wilderness. In Beersheba, he could have had fellowship, but Beersheba also had water. Abraham, the Bible tells us, had dug several wells in Beersheba. So in Beersheba, there were not only people, there was water. Let me say something to you. Whenever you decide that you allow depression to let you run away and become a lone ranger, you not only lose the encouragement of the believer, but you also lose the encouragement that comes from the water of the Word of God. Don't miss that. Anytime you stop coming to church because you're discouraged, you're not only losing the fellowship and the encouragement that the believer can give, but you're losing the encouragement that you can get from the water of the Word of God. Listen, Elijah should have stayed right there. But Elijah was running. He wanted to be a lone ranger. You know, I remember years ago, I had a very, very close friend. And very active in church, loved the Lord. But when he went into depression, he did exactly what Elijah tried doing here. He pulled away from church. He stopped coming to church. He was by himself. And you call him, he wouldn't answer the phone. You went to visit him. He usually wouldn't open the door. And if you found a way to get in, the whole place was totally in darkness all the time. It was just a sad, sad situation. That's what depression will do to you. But my friend, don't allow that to happen. Don't become a lone ranger when you're in the blues. When you're in the blues, it's the worst time. Are you with me this morning? It's the worst time to be a lone ranger. That's the time to hang out. Hebrews 10, 20, verse number 25. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says Hebrews 10, 25, very well known verse. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of return is drawing near. Might I suggest to you, as we reach these end times, we are going to see an even greater increase of depression. If there was ever a time we needed to be together, to be encouraging each other, it's now. Because there's going to be an increase as men's hearts fail them for fear of the things that are going to be coming on the world. Don't think things are going to get better. The Bible tells us about what's going to happen in the end time. And listen, as we approach the end, we can expect to see some of the I don't know what word to use, but basically some of the stuff that is going to happen. Listen, we're going to see some of the precursor to what is going to happen when God takes us out of the scene. I'm so glad I won't be here when things really get bad. The Bible talks about that period of tribulation and the great tribulation. I won't be here because, thank God, I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. He has not called us to wrath. He has not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain salvation. And the believer in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we won't be here when things get really, really bad. But we're going to start to see some of the droppings. May we as believers hang together, because we need to stay in fellowship. But the third thing I want to bring, take time to refresh ourselves. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Here's what it says. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. We might not realize it, but Elijah's victory at Mount Carmel was, I'm sure, very emotionally draining. You see, sometimes when we sit in the pew, we do not realize that intense spiritual ministry is very, very draining. And so Elijah, I can imagine he was drained by this experience. And God knew what Elijah needed most, so he sends him an angel, and the angel allows him to sleep. The angel gives him food, and the angel gives him water to drink. What a compassionate Savior we have. Amen? Amen. He knows exactly what we need. And sometimes God knows that what we need is to be refreshed. You know, sometimes we're so anxious to give our friends and our relatives a pep talk. Are you with me this morning? Sometimes we're so anxious to give them a pep talk that here they are struggling in depression, and the only thing you have to say is, "Why don't you get up?" Sometimes I need a little rest. Now listen, don't mean you're going to allow them to rest forever. Amen? There's a balance here. But sometimes that person who's suffering from depression, and I'm not a psychologist. I see some looking at me, but I'm not a psychologist. But I know that sometimes a person who is struggling with depression, what they need most is to be refreshed. Instead of giving them a pep talk, what you probably need to do is fry them 2 Johnny cake and give them a plate of ackee and salt fish and some fried Johnny cake, or if you want, you can give them some fried catfish or some good gumbo from down in Louisiana. Amen. Give them some comfort food after all. Good bowl of red pea soup. Oh my goodness. Oh, I could go on. Let me behave myself. Listen. Make sure, even if you're doing well, make sure your life includes time of refreshment. Sometimes we figure we're machines and I can just go. No, sometimes you gotta slow down. All that vacation. Some Christians are so proud. I mean, people are so proud to tell me, "I haven't taken a vacation for 8 years. I have all these weeks backed up." You're not doing yourself a favor. Take a break. Amen. I would tell you, go down to Jamaica, but no point going there right now. No point going there right now. I'm surprised to see everything was shut down, down in Jamaica. So listen, let's be praying for each other all over the world. So here's what have we said so far. Number one, admit your experience of the blues. Number two, choose fellowship instead of being a lone ranger. Number three, take time to refresh yourself.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.